Good morning, everybody. In studio today, we have Michael and Keith, who are the VA transition team. And I want to thank you for getting up early and coming in today. Before we start in this huge list of things we don't want to talk about, I want to hear a little bit about you. Tell me your rank, your service, what you do now.
Sure. So, I am Mike Ramsey. I am currently the transition patient advocate at the Tucson VA. I served for 25 years in the Air Force. I retired at the rank of senior master sergeant. In my last 5 years, I was the first sergeant.
Okay. Thank you for your service. And today is Armed Forces Day.
Yes, so it is.
I want to thank everybody out there for their service. And Keith, tell me about you.
I served in the Navy, reached third class petty officer. I was a cook on the USS John F. Kennedy, and after 9/11, I decided to put boots on the ground, join the Army, and I served just shy of 4 years and reached the rank of specialist.
And now you're both working for the VA?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. I met you guys at the Air Show.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed that they have all these resources for our veterans now that I wanted you to come out and let's talk about it. Let's start from page one. There's a bunch of acronyms on here, so I need you to explain some of this stuff to me because it was like reading Greek.
We'll walk you through it.
Yeah. Okay. we'll translate.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, the first thing we're talking about, let's talk about the acronyms because I don't know what they mean.
So with the branches of the VA, you have three major branches. VHA, which is Veterans Health Administration. VBA, which is Veterans Benefit Administration. And then the National Cemetery Administration, which is NCA. And then alongside VHA, you also have Readjustment Counseling Services, or RCS, which is the Vet Centers.
Okay. We were talking about the transition of coming back from a war zone or being in the military someplace else and coming back here and how you translate that day of being on the front lines to, or not even necessarily the front lines, being in a war zone and then coming back and everything is supposed to be copacetic and it's not necessarily always that way.
Right, absolutely. And like you said, whether you served in a war zone or not, I think the fact that when we go into the military, there's a boot camp. And the training that we get in each of the branches is very rigid, and very disciplined. And you learn that, and you're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time. If you don't know where to be, somebody's telling you where to be, when to be there, et cetera. So for a lot of our vets, it's just the fact that now we're not wearing a uniform anymore and maybe don't have that direction or sense of purpose. And one of the things that we do in our transition program is we try to reach out to every post 9/11 era veteran that's new to the VHA system, Veterans Health Administration. If they come into an appointment, they're going to get a phone call. And basically, we're going to do a screening just to kind of see how things are going. They would have met with the medical provider already, but we want to kind of do that screening to find out other things. You know, did you file a disability claim? Are there any maybe mental health issues that aren't addressed or physical issues that aren't addressed? And we want to try to just help reach out and make sure they have a point of contact they come back to. Just like coming back from a deployment, usually it's kind of a honeymoon phase. You know, you get back and you see your family and everything's great. You know, you just basically start getting back in the work routine, everything's good. And then it kind of hits you a little bit later on.
You have time to think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the same thing leaving the military, you know, no matter the way you get out, if you're anxious to get out and looking forward to it, you know, then all of a sudden, again, maybe 6 months later, it says, hey, this isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Right.
Yeah, I miss my buddies.
And that's very true. It's a family.
Yes.
It's a family away, and you have to deal with that somehow. So what do you supply for the people coming back? How do they get in touch with you, and how do they know that you're there to help them?
Well, that's a great question, and a lot of it is we are very connected in the community. That's something I think the VA has done a great job of recently. And Keith from the Vet Center's basically were born into the community. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
We're community-based, so we work with a lot of the community partners. The VA uses us to try a lot of new things like mindful-based stress reduction. But we go anywhere and everywhere there's a vet. So we're at a lot of events. We work hand in hand with DOD, VHA, VBA to provide services to all vets.
DOD.
Department of Veteran, Department of Defense.
Okay.
But more importantly, we also encourage our fellow veterans that are getting services to reach out to veterans that may not be reaching out for services. Because one of the biggest problems is veterans have issues, like the 22 a day suicide rate for veterans. They see majority of them are not utilizing VA services. So if our battle buddies, our fellow veterans, reach out to all veterans, then we can reach more demographic. It's one team, one fight.
And somebody may have an issue and not even realize it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty common. Normally it's a family member or close friend that realizes it first and would encourage those folks to get in. There's a resource out there. It's a VA resource called Coaching Into Care. There's a phone number and where are they? And a website for them. The phone number is 888-823-7458. And what this program is all about, it helps you learn some tools to help encourage that veteran to get the care that they need in a very positive and encouraging way, and kind of without being that nag, right? Because we don't want to put that veteran on the defensive side. I don't need anything, I'm good. That's kind of our mentality anyway. You know, as Keith likes to say, suck it up and drive on. You know, we don't need help, I'm going to figure it out myself. But yeah, we all need a little help now and then.
Absolutely.
I think one of the biggest things that veterans forget is when you go into the military, you train with a squad or a team. You go and get deployed, you deploy with a squad or team. And the same thing has to happen when you transition to be a civilian. You should never feel like you're alone. You should try and rebuild that squad or team. And me and Mike can be a part of that team, but it should also be community partners, should be family, friends, anybody you feel comfortable around that you can talk to.
A sounding board. Absolutely. Now you say the community, you're in the community. Where in the community have you been? I know you guys do all of Southern Arizona or all of Arizona?
Southern Arizona for
our... Because you're in Pinal County.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So tell us what you do when you go out into the community.
So a lot of the times with vet centers, we have what's called a mobile vet center. We call it MVC for short. And it's located out of Prescott, and it covers all of Arizona. And it is designed to bring VA services and benefits to rural communities. So once a year, we do like a roundtable for Sierra Vista. We'll hit Bisbee, Sierra Vista, Safford. We'll set up. We'll invite either somebody from the regional office for Veteran Benefits Administration. We'll invite someone from the hospital for eligibility enrollment. And of course, we have vet center staff there. And it's like a one-stop shop for rural vets that can't make it to a main VA institution. We do that every year, and we try and rotate. So we do it in Pinal County. I cover 6 counties, and we're trying to hit all the cities.
Okay. So how does somebody find out what that schedule is? If they're like, okay, I'd like to talk to you about whatever, how do they know?
Community resources, like the Disabled American Veterans, American Legion, VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars. We try and advertise at those locations. We also do PSAs. We can do radio commercials.
Here you are.
Right.
But the biggest change is VA now has Twitter, Facebook, and they send tip of the day emails, and they also have a calendar on their website to be able to find these events.
Okay, so if somebody out there doesn't have you in front of them like I do, they can go to any one of these, like VFW, American Legion, and ask them for your information.
They should be able to help out, yeah, as well as you can go to tucson.va.gov.
Okay.
And look for our calendar of events on there also.
Okay. Now, do you do things like 4th Avenue Street Fair? I mean,
we haven't done that one, but almost any resource fair or stand down. So we partner with the community, for
stand
example.
Down.
Yeah, so stand down, it's a military term for when things have been very stressful. Sometimes maybe if there was an accident or something like that, it's just a time to kind of back off a little bit, take a break, and
reassess.
Exactly. And we partner, like, locally, it's Tucson Veterans Serving Veterans, which is just a conglomeration of organizations, including the VA. We work with the city of Tucson, American Red Cross, and multiple agencies to put this together and provide a resource fair. And for homeless vets, it's huge. With that resource fair comes a job fair, et cetera. But for our homeless vets, we'll put them up for, I believe it's a couple of nights in a hotel, offer showers, haircuts, a lot of employment resources, resume writing skills, interviewing skills, et cetera. And in addition to just Tucson, we also do these throughout the different communities. For example, Safford was a couple of weeks ago, Pinal County about a month ago. And it's just another way to partner with the community and show the strength in partnership and to try to get the word out to as many veterans as we can.
We also do non-veteran stuff like the rodeo, NASCAR, Comic-Con. And you'd be surprised how many Marines dress up like stormtroopers at Comic-Con.
I can imagine. You said that, are you a part of, are you going to be a part of the homeless project that Tucson's putting on?
Yes, the TVSV. Yes, it's the next one, I believe, is coming up in August. They do two a year. So one's a 1 day and the other one's a 3 day.
And what happens at these events?
Again, so that's where you have the job fairs,
the resources,
all the resources, employment resources, women's programs are out there for our female vets.
Let me ask you something. You talk about building a resume. These people have skills. They have talents.
Yes.
What makes them become homeless?
Ooh, do you want to hit that one?
Yeah, I'll take this one. So there's many different reasons for, let's say, a veteran to become homeless. It could be transition issues that prevents them from keeping a job or getting a job. For example, I tried to move to Arizona and I applied for over 1,000 jobs. I had a lot of interviews.
Where'd you come from?
Upstate New York, okay. By Fort Drum.
Okay.
And the problem is I had severe anxiety and that came out in the interviews. So nobody wanted to take a chance to hire me. And in that life lesson I learned was to actually start getting help. And that's how I found Vet Centers. I actually went to school for HVAC engineering, totally different problem solving. But because of a work study program, I found the Vet Center. And they helped me with the tools to allow me to succeed even though I have anxiety. Those tools allowed me to get the current job that I have and to help other veterans. But I think veterans have a hard time admitting that they're having issues and it's everything else's fault. So that's one of the biggest things, mental health causing issues in the
workplace. I think
workplace.
That's like a bad word too. People call mental health and it's like the stigma.
I used to think that too because DOD for a long time had the stigma mental health was a career-killing decision. They've come around and they're getting much better. They're a huge partner with the VA and Vet Centers and to getting service members and veterans into treatment. But now with like the whole health program that the VA has, it's not just your physical health. Mental health has a big impact on everything from your physical to your personal life to your work. And in order to live the quality of life that a vet fought for, mental health has to come a part of the whole health.
It's a big part of the big picture.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Because, you know, everything that you do, it's your approach, everything.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yep. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Hi, it's me, Sherry. At Geneva Financial, we offer an array of loan products from commercial, construction, investor, all-in-one, a HEROES program for first responders as well as teachers, and of course, reverse mortgages. If you're shopping for a loan or know somebody who is, give me a call at 310-9900. We offer loans for humans by humans. So let's see what I can do for you. That's 310-9900. Thanks. I look forward to hearing from you.
911, what are you reporting? I'd like to report a break-in into my car. I came out this morning, and my laptop bag is gone, and some of my books are gone.
Are any of the windows broken or anything like that?
Nothing's broken.
Did you leave your vehicle unlocked, or did you lock it before you went inside?
I thought I locked it, but I don't think I did.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get an officer out to you as soon as I can. And
this doesn't have to be you. Remember to lock it or lose it. This has been a message from the Marana Police Department.
If you think making false threats is a joke, think again. Any communication threatening students, teachers, and staff at schools or public places is a federal crime that could lock people behind prison doors for up to 5 years.
I'm FBI Deputy Director David Bowditch, making you aware that hoax threats have real consequences. We don't want to see a young person begin their adult lives with a felony record.
Making false threats is not a joke. Think before you post. Visit FBI.gov.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest in the studio today is the transition team from the VA. We have Mike and Keith. If you have any questions, the number is 790-2040. It is a live show. That's why you hear all our mistakes. We edit nothing out. Let's get back to the transition portion of this. Tell me more. I want to step by step.
Yes, you were asking how veterans get connected. So we're doing a much better job in the last several years of preparing our veterans to leave the military. It's mandated throughout Department of Defense that every service member that's exiting goes through some sort of a TAP or transition assistance program. We're very fortunate here to have a very good relationship with Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and Fort Huachuca, especially with the Davis-Monthan because of our proximity. We are invited every couple of weeks to join them. It's called Capstone. So this is where our separating service members, they have deliverables they have to bring. They have a budget they've got to produce. They've got to show a resume to our Arizona at Work Disabled Veterans Outreach Program, or DVOPS. It has to be viable. The budget has to be viable. And they also give us an opportunity to speak with each and every separating service member. So whether they're staying here or going somewhere else, what we do is we connect them. If they're staying here and they're within a couple months of that separation, they want to enroll in VA healthcare, we'll enroll them on the spot. And if they're going somewhere else, at a minimum, we give them our contact information so they can reach back. And then what Keith does for the vet centers, he's got a whole list of vet centers across the country that he can get them connected with as well.
So this program is all around the country. It's not just here in Tucson.
Correct. Every VA medical center has the transition care management program, and vet centers are all over. And I think it's important to talk about vet centers as far as them, where they're located as well in relation to VAs.
Thanks, Mike. So vet centers are community-based. We have over 300 vet centers nationwide. We also have the mobile vet centers. We have just over 70 of them. We help veterans readjust through readjustment counseling, but more importantly, we help them readjust to a civilian life by connecting them not only with VA services, community resources, but to make sure that they have a place to go if they're having issues. I think one of the biggest changes in the vet center is actually my position. We now are able to do social functions. Like we have a monthly barbecue the first Friday of every month.
Where's that?
It's at the vet center, which is 2525 East Broadway, Suite 100. And the barbecue goes from 1400 or 2 p.m. to 1600 or 4 p.m. And we encourage the veterans to come, meet other veterans, socialize. We work with like Team Red, White, and Blue, Wounded Warrior Project, anywhere where we can get the veterans from isolating themselves and become an active participant in the community. Because like Mike was saying, veterans serve the country through their service. And when they get out, sometimes they think they have nothing else to offer. There are so many programs out there, and the vet center can help them connect it. And if they're having trouble, let's say at college or something, they have that 19-year-old kid and the political views they don't like, and it's triggering them, they can come in and actually talk to one of our clinical staff to give them the tools to succeed in any environment that might trigger them.
Okay, you were talking about being able to Skype with people as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't have to necessarily leave the comfort of your safe zone. You can just get on your computer and Skype with somebody and talk with them.
Yes. The Vet Center has just implemented this. Our current director, Josh Ridlin, is the first to utilize it. Sometimes our veterans live so far out that to get to a vet center is an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
Or the availability of them getting to the vet center could be days out. So now what we have is the accessibility to a encrypted app. It can either be on your smartphone or your computer, and you could do a one-hour session with clinical staff whenever you need.
And is there a cost to this, or is...
VA and Vet Center is always free. You may have co-pays depending on eligibility requirements of VA healthcare, and I think that's something that Mike could touch on.
Sure. But Vet Center is always free, correct?
Vet Center is 100% free. We never charge for anything there.
Okay.
For the VA healthcare, there's a potential for co-pays there. And I think it's important to point out, too, that unfortunately not every veteran is eligible for VA healthcare.
Why is that?
There's specific criteria. Congress is the one that mandates who we see and who we don't see. So just some basic examples. This is not all-inclusive. But for our recent combat vets, if they deploy to a combat zone, as long as they got the combat zone tax exclusion, doesn't mean they had to have bullets flying at them or mortars flying at them. If it's a designated combat zone, they are eligible for VA health care if they have an honorable or general discharge and come to us within 5 years of that separation date. So that's one. And something that was passed last year, I think it's a great idea. There's an executive order that President Trump signed that allows us to see veterans with any type of discharge. So even bad conduct discharge, dishonorable, we'll see them for up to a year for mental health conditions. And then we'll transition them to the community.
That's very cool.
Yes. Yeah. Vet centers, as long as they have an expeditionary medal, military sexual trauma victim, mortuary science to include nurses and doctors seeing trauma from war, or even the honor guards bringing the soldiers home, they're eligible at vet centers. And there is no, we can see dishonorable to honorable. We don't care about discharge type. But we can also see their spouse, children, brother, sister, parents. So if someone's about to deploy and their mother's like mine freaking out the first deployment, if they get a copy of the deployment orders to the family members, we can counsel the family members, keep them strong. So when the service member comes back, they have that strong support group already.
That's, yeah, prepare in advance. That's great. Yeah, that,
right.
I met you guys at the air show, and they didn't have this years ago. They didn't have it for the World War II guys,
right,
or the Vietnam guys. They, you know, so the fact that they're building on this and expanding their resources to help people, that's awesome.
It is. It really is. I went in the Air Force in 1982, and I don't remember any of my fellow service members that were separating. I don't remember hearing them talking about going to the VA, filing a disability claim, or any of that stuff for many, many years.
Yeah.
So I separated twice, once in 2002 from the Navy. The only thing I got out of the separation was I had GI Bill and VA home loan. The second time I separated, I didn't even know I was VA service connected because I went through a med board, which is a medical discharge. And just from 2007 to now, they have a week-long program. They are drinking from a fire hose, and that's where me and Mike try and get these veterans to keep our contact. So if they want clarification, they have someone to reach out to no matter where they go to. So the transition program is leaps and bounds better than what it was. There's always room for improvement. Each demographic is a little different, though.
You help these guys get jobs, too. And I know there's a lot of companies out there that look for veterans,
right,
because of the discipline, because of their ability to do what they're told to do when they're told to do it.
Going
to
be on time.
Be on time. There's a concept, be
right
on time. And I want to talk about, I took a note here. people who have people who are in the service now, or even people who had somebody come home, is there the counseling or coaching for somebody who just wants to go understand better what their spouse or their loved one went through? Do you have that type of opportunity?
There is. That's why vet centers, we can see active duty, National Guard, and Reserve, and our confidentiality is still the same. We don't have a diagnosis. Now it is up to the active duty member that's getting counseling to notify their chain of command for fit of duty, but that's not something that we do. We do work well with all the mental health programs on basis, but it does come down to them. So if the family wants to come into a local vet center and get some information, insight, they're more than welcome to talk to a clinical staff. And then again, coaching into care, phenomenal resource. And a simple phone call, they can email you or send you a packet.
And I think it's important to reiterate that you, none of this is like a permanent record someplace. What you do is separated from the health, the VA health part.
Yeah, so vet centers were designed by Vietnam vets. And in the late 70s, it was a peer-to-peer support group, basically a coffee group. Veterans got together and they talked. And the VA realized that Vietnam vets weren't coming in engaging in services. So in 1979, they wanted to absorb it. The stipulation was that the VA wouldn't have access to our records. We do keep documentations, and our documentations can support, let's say, a mental health service connection claim. But unless you release them to either Veterans Benefit Administration or the VA hospital, they can't see our records. Now, vet centers have access to VHA or the healthcare records and the Veteran Benefit Administration records. So we can be that liaison if they're having an issue. We can advocate, help them navigate all their VA resources.
And, you know, I think it's important that people understand that sometimes a veteran doesn't necessarily want to talk to their mother, brother, sister. They want to talk to another veteran.
Right.
And that impacted me. I did honor flight. I chaperoned honor flight a couple of years ago. And what really impressed me was when you got the veterans in one spot, they would talk to each other.
Yes.
But they wouldn't necessarily talk to you. And I think having that sounding board,
yes,
helps them to become normalized.
Right.
I don't know if that's a good word for it, but you know, it's like, okay, you get me.
Right. Right. It makes them more comfortable talking about it because they understand that whoever they're talking with probably has some shared experiences.
Been there, done that.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah, I think that's important.
And the VA hospital has, I think, 33% of our folks here at the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system are veterans themselves. And the vet center,
we're right around 70% nationwide veterans. And most of our civilian employees are either family members of veterans, spouses of active duty members. We pride ourselves on keeping that peer-to-peer support group style, and veterans seem to open up a lot better to fellow veterans.
Yes.
It's easier to break the ice with them.
Yes. Very cool.
You touched on something earlier about the family members wanting more information. Right. There's another program out there that the National Guard does and Reserve does to some extent, but not as intensive as the Guard. It's a Yellow Ribbon event, and this is designed for Guard and Reservists. When they come back from a deployment, they will have a ton of resources available to them and their family members, some resiliency, again, employment resources, we're there, as well as other resources as well. And it provides a lot of information to those family members, too, about what they can expect from their spouse when they come back.
Do you have a lot of people? I know when the guys from Vietnam came back, Agent Orange was a thing.
Right.
Nobody wanted to acknowledge, yes, it's a thing, but they do now. Do you still have people being affected by Agent Orange?
Yes. Congress just proposed to the VA 9 new presumptives, and the VA said that they would honor it. When it goes into effect, I'm not quite sure. But the list for presumptives for Agent Orange is prostate cancer, bladder cancer, hyperthyroidism, hypertension, stroke, early onset neuropathy, ischemic heart disease, Parkinson-like syndromes. But every generation has presumptives. Gulf War has Gulf War syndrome, burn pit. They're doing researches through the MVP program, another acronym for you, Million Veteran Project. And this is a phenomenal program because what you get for joining the Million Veteran Project, most civilians will pay $4,000, $3,000 for. And what they do is they take your blood, they put a number on it, so when it gets sent out to be analyzed, your information's not with it. Only your local hospital can translate that number into a patient's name.
Okay.
And they actually look and see, you know, are you predisposition for cancer or any illnesses? But with that, they're also tracking like how many percentage of veterans get a certain disease. So like veterans are 2 times more likely to get ALS than a civilian. So ALS is a presumptive for all veterans. And that's where that research comes in. And a veteran, just by joining the Million Veteran Program, can actually help their brothers and sisters with this list. Because the problem with Agent Orange, it took 40 years for a lot of these service connections because Vietnam vets were not being tracked because of the way they were treated when they came back. They didn't want to go to the VA. So it took 40 years to get enough information. It doesn't have to be that way for every generation after. And that's the one lesson that we can learn from Vietnam vets. They've opened up so many doors for every generation of vet.
Oops. One of the things we're doing along those lines for our more current veterans is the Burn Pit Registry as well. So,
what does that mean?
So the Burn Pit and Airborne Hazard Registry, again, there's no presumptive disabilities assigned to them yet, but it's a central repository right now. So we're actually being looking ahead and being
proactive.
A little proactive. Yes, believe it or not, the government is being proactive in this case. And we're tracking that information. So we encourage veterans that were at these locations, and it's on the VA Public Health website, to go ahead and register your information. Because again, like Keith mentioned, 40 years from now, we might find out that maybe there was a forward operating location that we have a very high number of veterans with COPD, et cetera. It's not in their military treatment records today, maybe, you know, when they separate, but 30 or 40 years down the road, if they come down with that, they'll make it a presumptive condition. And what that means, the presumptive conditions, is right now, for the most part, if you do not have a specific medical or mental health condition listed in your medical military treatment records and you file a disability claim with the VA, they're probably going to deny it because there's no evidence that it happened while you're on duty. So that's why these presumptives are so important.
Very important. So anybody out there who is a veteran or knows a veteran, where do they go to fill out this online?
Yeah, so it's the VA Public Health website for the Burn Pit Registry. They can also come into our VA Eligibility Enrollment Office, and we are located at 3601 South 6th Avenue. It's on the corner of Ajo Way and South 6th Avenue. And with our Eligibility Enrollment Office, there is an Environmental Registry Office that handles all of our environmental registries, including the Agent Orange, Burn Pit, et cetera.
What does Burn Pit mean?
So there were many locations where that is how we, the military, were getting rid of all of our trash over there. So in addition to just regular food refuse or whatever, uniforms, medical waste, there were just tons of stuff that were just dumped in. These burn pits were going around the clock 24/7. And unfortunately, a lot of us were breathing those chemicals in.
Inhaling it.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in a few. Hi, it's me, Sherry. At Geneva Financial, we offer an array of loan products from commercial, construction, investor, all-in-one, a HEROES program for first responders as well as teachers, and of course, reverse mortgages. If you're shopping for a loan or know somebody who is, give me a call at 310-9900. We offer loans for humans by humans. So let's see what I can do for you. That's 310-9900. Thanks. I look forward to hearing from you.
911, what are you reporting?
I'd like to report a break-in into my car. I came out this morning, and my laptop bag is gone, and some of my books are gone.
Are any of the windows broken or anything like that?
Nothing's broken.
Did you leave your vehicle unlocked, or did you lock it before you went inside?
I thought I locked it, but I don't think I did.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get an officer out to you as soon as I can.
This doesn't have to be you. Remember to lock it or lose it. This has been a message from the Marana Police Department.
I want to talk a little bit more about the transition team, and we were talking about combat people. What
Correct.
About the rest of the veterans?
Right. So as I mentioned, not every veteran is eligible for VA health care, and the combat vets, as long as they come to us within the first 5 years, they are automatically eligible if they have an honorable or general discharge. For other veterans, we're going to look at other criteria. So if they have a service-connected disability rating, one that was adjudicated by the Veterans Benefits Administration, we see some vets that say, yeah, I have hearing loss, so I should be eligible, but maybe they didn't file a claim and they aren't otherwise eligible. So we encourage them to get with the veteran service officer to file the claim because we want to take care of our veterans. That's something
Absolutely.
That we need to make sure we get across. We really do want to take care of our veterans. And if they're eligible, we definitely want to take care of them and help them become eligible if they're not. So the service-connected disability rating is one way. And just so you know, if a veteran has a rating of 10%, service-connected disability rating of 10% or greater, that means all of their medical treatment through the VA is free for the rest of their life. So I may have a service-connected disability condition of tinnitus, so ringing in the ears.
Is that what that's called?
Yes, tinnitus or tinnitus.
Okay,
yes.
I didn't know that.
But if I walk out to my car and trip and fall, which I'm very capable of doing, and bust my knee, as long as I go to the VA healthcare, the VA emergency department, I don't pay a dime for any treatment.
Very cool.
Yes, I may have to pay for meds if it's not service connected, unless I have a rating of 50% or greater, then it's all inclusive. Another way some veterans become eligible is with our income threshold. If they're below ballpark numbers, is about $32,000 a year for single veterans and about $40,000 a year for married veterans. So for a lot of our veterans who, for example, our Vietnam vets, a lot of them are retiring now. Many were very, very successful, maybe didn't engage with the VA when they first got out for obvious reasons. But now maybe they had a drop in income, so they may be eligible for VA health care now, even though they may not have been previously. So we encourage vets to check back.
So, you know, you're talking the Vietnam guys. They didn't register or do what you're able to do now.
Right.
You know, go on there and enter your information. Do they retroactively help these people become eligible?
Well, absolutely. What they'll do is they'll look at anything and everything. As far as their income level, do they have a service-connected disability? If they don't, but they feel that there may have been something that was caused during their military service, they'll encourage them to file that disability claim to get that rating. That might make them eligible. There's also a part of the environmental registry. So if they were exposed to Agent Orange and come down and do the environmental registry because they were exposed, we will do an exam, an Agent Orange exam, and that often opens them up to being eligible for VA healthcare as well.
I think just the way they were treated when they came back should make them eligible.
Oh, no kidding. I agree.
That was just horrible.
Right.
I can agree with that. And the biggest part of the Vet Center mission is to help veterans, especially Vietnam vets that were mistreated in the beginning. But because of Vietnam vets, they opened the door for VA healthcare and benefits for every generation. We owe it to them to assure them that we're here for them, whether it's the VA hospital, VBA benefits, or vet centers. And more importantly, even if you have a very successful veteran that qualifies for VA healthcare, you want to still get seen once a year, enroll, because just like all government agencies, the Army gets paid more than the Marines because there's more soldiers than there are Marines. We get paid per actively enrolled veteran. It's a little less than $3,000 a year. But if we get 100 vets that only get seen once a year, that could help out those that only need the VA for healthcare or only have the VA for healthcare. And the other part, with the income threshold, you can deduct your medical expenses from your income to lower that threshold. So a lot of vets might have heard those numbers and think they're overqualified. Well, in the Army, we say, when in doubt, salute out. Go in and ask, because the information you get might help someone you know, even if it doesn't help you.
Absolutely. Tell them again where they can go to enter their information.
Sure. So the best place to do this is contact our eligibility enrollment office. Again, they're on 3601 South 6th Avenue in Building 69. They can also call 520-792-1450, extension 6572. Talk to our eligibility enrollment folks.
And if you're not there to help yourself, you can help somebody else just by going in and getting signed up.
Exactly. One team, one fight.
One team, one fight. I like that. Okay. And you said that number. Is that your number?
That is actually the number to the eligibility enrollment office.
So you don't answer the phone?
Correct.
Okay.
No.
I'm just wondering.
I work in a different program. Again, my program is specifically targeted for post 9/11 era veterans, but we won't turn any veteran away. And my phone number is 520-792-1450, extension 6261.
And I want to remind everybody, if you didn't have a pen and paper, you're driving, you're out doing something else, these podcasts are posted on the KBOI.com website. They're on my website, lawmatters1030.org. And I'll make sure these gentlemen get a copy of the podcast as well if they want to post it someplace, because there's a lot of information here.
Sure is.
Yeah. We want to continue with this, because we haven't even gotten to the three sheets of paper here.
So, looks like you got to invite us back.
I know. Absolutely. Anytime. Okay. What else do we need to know that's really important for right now?
I think in closing, we should touch the 22 a day suicide prevention options out there for veterans.
Absolutely.
And I think this is one of the reasons I really wanted you guys to come.
Yeah, it's not a secret that it's a huge issue. And it's not just a veteran population. It's a civilian population as well. It's a national, nationwide crisis. It really is. And the VA is really doing a tremendous job. We don't know the numbers that we save. I mean, we hear the ones that we lose. But the numbers that we save could just be a matter of, you know, somebody reaching out, somebody coming through that door. Who knows what they were thinking when they came in, but maybe they're not thinking that on the way out because they did reach out and connect with someone. So you just never know how we're going to impact each other's lives on a day-to-day basis. But each VA healthcare system has a suicide prevention coordinator there. They do training with all of our staff. So it's familiarization training. So even if it's our clerks to maybe somebody they run into in the hallways that isn't clinical, if a veteran does express some suicidal ideations, we at least have a basic background of, hey, we're not going to leave this veteran alone. We're going to make sure we do a warm handoff, get him to the emergency department or the
appropriate... A warm handoff. Now, explain what that means.
A warm handoff means I'm not just going to tell you to walk to the emergency department. I am going to personally escort you until somebody clinical has laid eyes on you and basically said, okay, I've got him.
A professional can
correct.
Help. People train in this. So it's not like, you know, okay, I'm going to give you to Susie over there. People are trained in helping people. And I think the people that are thinking these thoughts don't realize you're not alone.
Yes.
And that, you know, you feel alone, but you're really not alone. And to be able to call somebody and just have that sounding board.
Yes, it's huge.
It is huge.
And that's one of the reasons why the Veterans Crisis Line was invented a few years back. And that there's a phone number of 800-273-8255. Or they can go on the veteranscrisisline.net. They also text. So there's a text number. And that number is 838-255.
And they'll get, somebody will respond to that. That's just not, you know, you're going to text your feelings to an empty space.
Correct.
Somebody will respond to it.
Yes, yes.
The crisis line will actually email the VA local. Even vet centers have gotten crisis line emails saying, hey, they identified as one of your clients. This is what happened. So the crisis line is like central. We also have what's called the Combat Call Center, which is open 24/7. That number is 1-877 War Vets, or 927-8387. And there's either a veteran or a family member of a veteran that picks up the phone. And if they're calling in crisis, they'll again get a warm handoff to a clinician. But the War Vet can also be for information. And then again, I'd like to reiterate coaching into care. If you have a loved one that you think might be having suicide thoughts, you want to call Coaching into Care at 888-823-7458. You can get a lot of help, learn some motivational interviewing skills to be able to talk to a veteran in a compassionate way to find out if they are struggling.
And this isn't like 9 to 5. This is 24/7.
24/7, yep.
So, because I think people have realized that, you know, it's when there's not a lot to do and people have time to think.
Yes.
And they're alone, that's when they need the help.
Correct.
Even vet centers have nights and weekend hours. And one of our vet centers in California is open 24/7. And with that app that you could FaceTime with a clinician, we could do that. Our mobile vet centers have VTEL, which is similar to Skype. It's all encrypted, and they can sit down, and we can get a available counselor somewhere nationwide to talk to that vet. There's help there. I think the biggest hurdle for veterans is admitting that they're having issues transitioning, and that suck it up, drive on mentality shouldn't apply becoming a civilian. I think it takes more courage to ask for help.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I said it, and I don't think people realize when they say transition, I think a civilian would say, okay, jet lag.
Right.
It's not jet lag.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And when you've got that time and you're sitting here contemplating everything, it's just like, I need to talk to somebody. Yeah. So you guys are there to talk to.
Absolutely.
So
I was saying, we encourage folks to call even before they're in crisis. You know, maybe they're just struggling. Maybe they're having a bad day. You can still call that crisis line and talk to somebody there, or the Coaching into Care, or the Combat Call Center. You don't have to necessarily wait until it's a full-blown crisis. You know, if you're just struggling, we encourage folks to call. Let's nip it in the bud a little bit sooner before it gets to that point.
I know a lot of the, and it's been on the news, a lot of the veterans have comfort dogs or dogs that will help them. Do you have people, do they go through you to get a comfort dog?
They don't necessarily come through us. We would do is we would refer them to agencies.
You have those resources.
Yes, so. We absolutely have those resources. We can connect them to these agencies that have service dogs, therapy dogs, et cetera.
Does the VA hospital, do they have service dogs, therapy dogs over there?
No, not at the VA hospital. There is a program where if they do have, veterans do have a service dog, it's got to be documented medically, the medical conditions and everything. But the VA, through our prosthetics department, will actually help pay some of the costs for, I think it's veterinary care, I think it's their specialty food needs, some medical. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but there is something out on the VA webpage as well for that.
A program that'll help them with that.
Yes.
And the VA webpage.
So va.gov, if veterans just go to the va.gov website, and that's the national website, and that has healthcare, vet centers, veterans, or benefits, National Cemetery Agency, and tons of information about all kinds of different programs on there.
And so going through that website, they can actually narrow it down and is there, you know, locations, you put in a zip code,
yes,
and it'll take you to
exactly. There's a facility, facility locator there.
So are you guys on that website anywhere?
Yes. Yes. So all vet centers and all VA facilities, to include community-based outpatient clinics, are on there. But if, when in doubt, no matter where they are, they can call me or Mike. It's not a problem.
Okay, give me your cell number.
So my office number is 520-882-0333. And I recommend anyone that has any questions about benefits or is having any issues with VA, give me a call. I'm more than happy to help out.
And you too, Mike.
Yeah, same as well. So my phone number is 520-792-1450, extension 6261. And my email address is michael.ramsey2, the number 2, at va.gov.
Okay, I want to hear a success story. I know you guys have been doing this for a while. I want to hear, how did you help somebody and turn their life around?
So Mike just learned about one of mine yesterday at the movie night, which the VA does several times a year. I had a client that I met several years ago, 3 years ago, and she was having issues with her service connection claim. I met her again at the veteran parade, and she's like, yeah, nobody can help me. And I was like, well, prove me wrong. And so
Keith likes a challenge.
So challenging her, she finally came in after a year of seeing her at veteran events. And when she came in, she was on the verge of homelessness. Well, come to find out, there was an admin mistake that was holding up her claim. It's just a glitch in the system. It's nobody's fault. It's just nobody caught it. By looking at her service connection claim, she had been service connected for the issue 11 months prior, but never giving a percentage rating, which pays the monetary amount. A simple email that was ratified by Christmas. So this is Veterans Day. By Christmas, she got her back pay, prevented homelessness. And the next time I saw her, she came up, gave me a hug and said, do you know this was the first time I went shopping and didn't count stuff in my basket?
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So, you know, you might think it's like, nobody can help me, like she said.
Mm-hmm.
But if you contact these gentlemen, there's help.
Absolutely.
Yes. I want to talk about this.
Oh, the Operation Reintegration. So this is a program that that Keith and myself and our former AW2 Army Wounded Warrior advocate put together a couple years ago. We kept getting a very common theme about veterans losing their sense of purpose when they got out of the military. So what we did is we had about 20 local organizations, and there's probably about 50 organizations on our program flyer, some national, some local. But the whole purpose of this was most of us want to give back. We feel better when we give back. And this is a way to get connected with community resources that either offer volunteer opportunities or positive influences for veterans. Team Red, White, and Blue, we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, tell me about that. What do they do?
Yeah, so what they do is they help veterans reintegrate through physical fitness and social activities. You don't have to be a superstar triathlete to be part of it. Any veteran and civilians are welcome to join that as well. But they do different events throughout, and that's a nationwide program. And we also do some social activities as well.
Let's not forget, Mike, anybody that wants to go golfing, 8-week program, PGA Hope, Mike will more than happy hit the green with you, and
absolutely,
it's free.
Absolutely. And the PGA Hope, the Hope stands for helping our patriots everywhere, and we do this twice a year also. It's a 6-week free golf lesson program for veterans, primarily targeted toward disabled vets. And specially trained PGA professionals teach adaptive golf.
So you don't have to have been in the military to really help the military out and be a part of their success.
Correct.
It takes a community to help veterans readjust. It's not just a VA or Department of Defense. If you see a vet struggling, just knowing either Mike or my number can help that vet. I always recommend whenever I pass on my business card, take a picture of it, keep it in your phone. You're going to lose my card, but hopefully you won't lose your phone.
And you'll be able to.
I've had vets referred to me from Walmart parking lots.
There you go. Yeah. Anybody who needs a helping hand, or even if they don't think they need a helping hand and want to help somebody else and find out that, oh, this is helping me too, can contact you guys.
Absolutely. Yes.
So I encourage everybody to do that. And I want to thank you for coming on. I mean, there's so much more to talk about, and we don't have time to talk about everything, so you're going to have to come back. So promise me you'll come back.
One last thing. Anybody that wants to find out about VA or Vet Center, the Vet Center at 2525 East Broadway, Suite 100, is going to have an open house on June 12th.
Oh, very cool. From what time to what time?
From 12 to 5 p.m.
Okay. Next week, we're going to have the Border Patrol on, And we're going to find out what's going on there. And we didn't even touch on the border issue.
No, we didn't.
So we've got to come back next week and we'll talk about Border Patrol. Until then, I want everybody to shop local, stay safe, and help your veterans.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Sherry.
Copyright 2019 Geneva Financial, LLC, NMLS number 42056. All loans subject to qualifying factors.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.